Juneteenth. My spell check didn't like it when I put in Juneteenth. A lot of people in the West don't know what it is. Juneteenth is a holiday in the African-American community that celebrates both something wonderful and something pretty terrible. It celebrates the arrival of a ship in Galveston in 1865 that informed the slaves that they were free. Good news. 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, it took the good news to get there. Well, that's the way it is with good news. That between the laws and some changes and the realities, there is a gap. There's a gap, and in some very meaningful ways, there is still a legitimate question. Has that ship reached the Galveston in the heart and in the soul of the American people? In the words of the old work song, I think it's still got so terrible long to go. But the good news is, it is a coming. There is still slavery. There is still oppression. There is still prejudice. There are still laws that should not be laws, but more importantly, hearts that are still closed that need to be opened. We have still so terrible long to go. I was reminded of this as I sat and watched a PBS special on Peter, Paul, and Mary, one of those great PBS specials that you know it's good because they use it for fundraising, which is they suck you in the first 20 minutes and then they hold the show hostage until you'll write a check and liberate it. I'm not sure this is the model that PBS wants to be using, but we could try it at church sometime. Except we do it the other way. The sermon won't end until you pay. Anyway, I was watching the PBS special on Peter, Paul, and Mary, and I could not help but flash back to my young days in Berkeley, marching and picketing, my days in Torrance, picketing for open housing and fair housing, getting harassed, not terribly threatened. I did not come close to paying the ultimate price that the minister, the assistant minister in Washington, D.C., paid with his life, that Orloff Miller, late of this district, paid by being clubbed into senselessness by senseless people. I was harassed. I was dragged off. I was handcuffed and thumb cuffed. And, maybe I have a claim. Anyway, I remembered those days, and I remembered the hope. I remember that I believed that we would overcome someday. And I thought that that someday was going to be someday soon. Deep in my heart, I did believe that we would overcome. And then I couldn't help but feel a little bit down, a little bit depressed that we still have got so terrible far to go, that there's so much work that needs to be done on the heart and soul of human beings here and everywhere. I couldn't help but feel down that those alliances that I was a part of, my friends, black and white, Christian, Jew, atheist, agnostic, Republican, Democrat, socialist, Black Panther. We walked together. We sang together. We marched together, arm in arm and hand in hand. And I understand that there was a parting. I understand why every group, every minority, has to create a distance to make the movement its own. I understand that white people and people of color needed to separate for a while. But I just thought that we would find each other again. I thought that we would find each other and embrace each other again and join arm in arm and hand in hand and march towards that vision, that not distant beacon, but that vision that seemed to be then so close to being in our reach. I thought that we would overcome not simply the evil out there, but the momentary separation between and among friends. But we still got so terrible long to go. I thought "We Shall Overcome" was about what we were going to do. We good people, we enlightened liberal people of all faiths, we enlightened people of all ethnicities and races, that what we had to do was overcome the evil out there. That if we could get out of office those George Wallaces, those Lester Maddoxes, if we could banish those Bull Connors with their dogs, then everything would be okay and we would have overcome. I was wrong. It was important, but it was not enough. I thought that if we could change the laws, if we could get rid of Jim Crow and poll taxes and discriminatory covenant restrictions on housing, that that would be enough. And, you know, we did a lot of that, but it was important and it was not enough. I only lately have come to understand that "We Shall Overcome" is not simply about the evil out there or a few bad people that stand in the doorways to the schoolhouse or to the courthouse or to the corporations. That is an important struggle, but it is not the whole struggle. Some of the struggle starts inside here with ourselves and our own assumptions. I feel terrible every time I see the phrase, the civil rights era, and now we live in the post-civil rights era. What does that mean? Does that mean that everything was achieved back in the 60s with the passage of the civil rights bills? Everything wasn't achieved. That's wrong. Does it mean that it's not important anymore? Well, that's both factually and morally wrong. Does it mean that this isn't the civil rights era because we've taken our eyes off the prize? Yeah, I think that's what it means. And I understand now that overcoming is overcoming smugness as well as apathy and getting in touch with our own assumptions, and they go to more than issues of race. Race is an ephemera. It's a new concept. It will become an old concept. But we still have race and ethnicity. We still have class and gender and sexuality and all kinds of ways that we separate ourselves from our sisters and brothers. We carry all kinds of prejudices, and I would love to tell you, like Martin Luther King, that I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen that promised land, that I'm standing on that mountaintop in a place free of personal prejudice. But it would be a lie. I carry prejudice. I carry profiling within me. I judge people at first by flimsy criteria. How are they dressed? I profile at airports. When someone shows up to date my granddaughter, you're damned right I'm going to be profiling. I'm going to be profiling language and class. Not race, class. But I'll still be looking at people. I make prejudicial assumptions when I hear a thick southern accent. I assume crackerness and that's not called for. I make assumptions with about people with lots of tattoos, and often I'm wrong about him, and more often now her. I'm still profiling. I'm still doing it. I am not saying that I've reached the mountaintop. I'm saying is that the journey to that mountaintop begins when we look at ourselves and our own prejudices of whether it's race or class or ethnicity or religion or political affiliation, how we look at surface criteria and don't go deep, trying to see the person underneath whatever uniform they're wearing. I believe we can overcome. I believe we must overcome. I believe that that ship has sailed for our collective Galveston, but it has not yet arrived. A ship that is not carrying freedom but carrying the provisions has set up camp. It landed in our collective Galveston, and it unloaded bagels, and it unloaded salsa, the number one condiment in the United States. We have a society today that has shown remarkable progress. 40 years ago, no little boy would have picked out a black sports hero and would have said, "Hey, I'm Willie Mays." But today they will say, "I'm going to be Tiger." A little girl may say, "I'm going to be Serena. I'm going to be Oprah." That shows that we have come a way, but we have not arrived. Interracial dating is not the scandal it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Interracial, it's about the equivalent of what Protestants, you know, Lutherans and Methodists getting married was at this point. Interracial marriage is not the scandal it was 20 years ago. Most of the time, parents are just damn glad the kids are deciding to get married before breeding, and they're very thankful of it. We have come a big distance in the law, in our society, and yes, most importantly, in our hearts, but we still got so terrible long to go. But I do believe in a world where there are bagels and Idaho and salsa is the number one condiment, and Italians order Chinese and Chinese order pizza, and everybody goes out for Mongolian barbecue, that the provisions, the camps have been set up to welcome that ship to our hearts, and that ship will arrive. Deep in my heart, I do believe that we will overcome ourselves, our instincts, and our society someday, some happy day. But it takes an act of will for us to be open to receive that good ship in the Galveston of our hearts.